Hello, we are Angela Benjamin
and David J. Lilly,
and we are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We are both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or creative type, or spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkling chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple, Spotify, and Chrome Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Ange
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. Hello, Ange. Hello from Canada.
Hi, David. Hello from, quite sunny London. It's not bad here today.
Well, that's nice. It's, there's sun. It's begun getting through the smoke here this morning. But since last Thursday, we've had one very major fire nearly take hold of Kelowna. And Kelowna's the second biggest city in British Columbia with a population of about 150,000. So, yeah, it's not the most beautiful morning here, but I can see the mountains on the other side, which we couldn't do on Friday.
Wow. So it sounds like it's been quite scary, really, because I saw some of your Insta posts and obviously the news here that, yeah, it looks like it's been quite intense for a lot of people.
It has. We've known a couple who we met last month. Amanda, who is Sky Gem Designs, came over from Ontario with her husband Ken to see Ken's parents down in West Kelowna. And they're in their 70s and 80s, and they have lost their home completely. It's gone.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's like, how do you rebuild a life, at that age? I mean, it's the energy that you need to put into that. I wouldn't know how to even think about it at this point. They're the only people we know who have lost their homes. The woman who owns this place where we're renting has a place in Kelowna as well. And she was fearful that she might lose hers because the fires were heading that way. But thankfully, she hasn't. Mm-hmm. We've had some friends in Lake Country who I messaged on Friday, and they said they were literally just leaving because the fire was 2 kilometres away from them. And I've not heard from them since, but they had a plan, so they knew where they were going and what they were doing. So hopefully they haven't lost their home as well. And that's just the fires south of us. And then there's fires north of us, just north of Salmon Arm as well. A little place called Scotch Creek that we drove through only fortnight ago, no longer exists, gone completely, the entire village. And on the opposite side of the lake from there, because fires can jump lakes, it's quite amazing, a little village of Sorrento, and they've been evacuated. We have a friend who lives there, and he has evacuated to Salmon Arm, so hopefully they won't lose their homes as well. So it's got really intense up here at the moment. There hopefully is some rain coming, because the hurricane that's going through California at the moment is expected to kind of like blow itself out a bit there through Washington and Idaho and then come up through here and deposit some rain. So hopefully that'll cool things down a bit. So yeah, it's very strange in that everywhere outside, you just can't see very far at all. There's just the entire place is smoke. And the sun, you can look directly at the sun because the smoke is that thick.
Wow.
So, yeah, very, very strange.
So quite a somber mood. Have you been able to find any sort of levity or any time to be creative with all of that going on?
Well, yes. I mean, thankfully, last week I had a lot of stuff planned. Wednesday and Friday, we had 6 workshops planned for an organisation called Joining Hands, which is for people with learning differences. Each workshop's only an hour and a half. So we had 3 on the Wednesday and 3 on the Friday. And everybody turned up for all of them, even on the Friday, when we imagined people might not because of the smoke in the air. And they came and made little stained glass pendants. And we had some leather cord for them to choose from as well. And some of them made one, some of them made 3. And they had really good time. And I worked with most of this group in January, and I so enjoyed doing it. It was really lovely. So we did that Wednesday and Friday, which was great. And then Saturday, I had a leaded stained glass workshop like I run at home, or back in the UK, I should say. And I had six people in for that, three of whom I knew because two of them work at the centre and one of them had done the workshop back in January. Then one of the ladies who works at the centre, Karen, had two of her friends there, which left one space for this poor lady who knew none of them. And the other five were completely bonkers. So I started by apologizing to this sixth lady that we would just ignore the other five during the day and I'll be her friend, type of thing.
Oh, I think I saw some pictures on your Insta stories. And yes, they were great. Some of the people wearing their pendants, they were lovely. Everyone looked so happy and chuffed with themselves. I think that's one of the things I really love with doing workshops, is just how in awe people are of what they've made. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So I've done a couple of workshops myself in the past week, and the most recent one was for a lovely couple of 18-year-old friends who just the day before got their A-level results. So one was slightly hungover, and the other one was slightly euphoric. So we had to go easy on the hammering. But yeah, they made brilliant rings and they were just so excited. You know, they came in a little bit worse for wear and not really sure what to expect, but went away really happy. And then the stepmom who'd organized it sent me a lovely message saying how happy they were and they were thrilled with their creation. So yeah, it's a really nice thing to see people's reactions to their own creativity.
Definitely. Well, that, I think, you know, that's the best thing about it. I'm sure you'll agree. When you see someone else get the joy from doing something that you get so much joy from.
Yes, definitely. And in such a short space of time, I think that's one of the pertinent things with the workshop, because you think, oh, 2 hours, what are they going to be able to do that, you know, get the feel for it and actually be able to have something to take away that they'll get an appreciation of the work involved. But yeah, it's each time I love it. It's one of the reasons that I enjoy doing workshops, even on days where I'm knackered and I think, oh no, I've got a workshop booked. It's that thing of the personalities that come with it. Everyone brings their own energy, their own life experiences or inexperiences that will make the piece whatever it is. And yeah, I'm a talker, so I love interacting with people on that level anyway.
Funnily enough, when I did the first of the leaded stained glass window workshops at the beginning of August, it was run over two evenings. And first evening, I didn't know any of the people in it. Oh, no, I did. I knew one lady because she works at the centre as well. But they were all so quiet. And I actually texted Karen, who is the workshop coordinator there, saying, have you given this lot a Xanax before they turned up or something? Because they're not even laughing at the fact that I'm making stupid jokes, you know, and things like that. It's like so serious. It was really quite funny. But when they came back the second evening, they'd relaxed.
The same group.
And they were fine. Same group, yes. Because they did all their glass cutting the first evening and then they did the construction the second evening. And yeah, they were far more relaxed. And at the end, they were really enjoying themselves. But in fact, the first evening, I thought, how can I crack this lot open? They are just being, I mean, even when, because it was so quiet and I whisper, you're all so quiet. Nothing. No response.
Whatever. Do you think, though, some of it might be just, you know, concentration and a bit of fear? Because with me, doing so, I'm so clumsy. The thought of cutting glass, I know I'm going to get cut. Even if you say you've got the safest environment, I'm going to be the one with blood dripping down my hand. So maybe that was it. They were just so intent and concentrating on what they were doing that you thought, they, you know, that might have been it. Because I can't imagine you not putting people at their ease.
It probably is. And there are times I do say to people, and now we're going to breathe. You know,
yes, I've done that as well. It's usually when people are soldering, they're sort of holding their breath and waiting for that sort of what I call the money shot, which is probably not the most appropriate.
Are we going to have to put a sensitive content thing on this?
I think we might do. You know what I'm like. I'm always lowering the tone, David. But yeah, I often have to remind people to breathe. But yeah, it's all part of the fun of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. By the end of it, I mean, everybody's enjoyed it to some extent or other. Most people have exceeded their own expectations, because they, you know, they came with an idea of what they thought it was. They discovered it was actually far more complicated or hard work than they imagined it was going to be. But they then went home exhausted and exhilarated. And basically, that's what it's about.
And have you had an opportunity to be creative yourself? Have you had time to do any making?
I've not since I finished the tourmaline ring. So the ring wax where you sent me the tourmalines that we shared. So I got that done. It must have been week before last now. I think it was on the Friday. And I haven't, didn't, I mean, because I was in the centre 3 days this week, I didn't put any other time aside to create anything. There is apparently a jeweller in Vernon who could possibly take the waxes and cast them as well. So I've got to pop down to them probably later this week when things get a bit more sensible, take the waxes in and see what they say. Otherwise, I'm going to send them to Saba Jewelers in Vancouver, which is what Susan Cunn suggested because she's used them before. Interestingly, after setting up the Canadian Jewelers WhatsApp group, which we talked about last time, one of the jewelers there said she's tried to get hold of Saba to ask for details about the stuff being cast, and they never reply to her. Which, interestingly, hello, Canadians, are you listening? You're appalling at replying to emails. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I know I don't expect an email back within an hour, but within 48 hours, you know, 72 hours, the same week would be nice.
It's your uptight Englishness? This is the, you know, we want things done now. You're in a much more laid back country. You know, they're not in a hurry for these things.
Well, supposedly, they are in a hurry to employ people, but they don't respond.
Oh, no.
I know. It's very strange. I mean, had this conversation with a lot of friends here saying, I'm waiting for a reply, waiting for a reply. And they're going, really? Yeah. And to reply. You know, who is this business? Oh, they're terrible to reply. They never reply to anyone. But what's going on? I mean, just get a pigeon, anything, you know. You can't do email, pigeon post. You can poop on me and I know you're replying. Whatever. Anything. Yeah.
Talking of employment, how did your interview go?
Well, interesting is the polite way of putting it, in that it didn't turn out to be an interview because they weren't quite sure what necessarily I could be employed in or what role I could be employed in. They wanted to employ me, but they weren't quite sure how.
Right.
So we discussed a few things and obviously about the immigration, and they are aware that we're wanting to emigrate and that we're using a scheme called the RNIP. We left it after about 20 minutes that she was going to send me the job description, which she hadn't done, and the job code. Each job has a code over here, which she said she would and hadn't done. And then I would send those to our immigration attorney and they can give some advice, this, that, and the other. So after 3 days, so I saw her on the Tuesday, and by the Friday, I'd not received anything. I sent her an email again saying, so nice to have met you, looking forward to getting, you know, the details that you said you'd send.
Yeah.
By the following Tuesday, I still hadn't received anything. So I emailed her again, and I got an email back saying, really sorry, forgot to do this. Here's what you're asked for. So she sent through the job descriptions, but no job codes. So I thought, well, told my attorney about the meeting and what had come of it. So she said, well, just when you get the job description, send them. So I sent them on to her and she's going to review it. Also, from discussing what had come out of this meeting was that there was a job they wanted me to do, but I didn't appear to have enough experience to be able to for them to say this person has the experience for the visa. So there was another job that I would need to do that would give me the experience to be able to do that job.
Right.
For which I would have to do 300 hours. So I said, so actually talking to some friends, Krish suddenly came up with the idea, why don't I volunteer for that lesser position, do the 300 hours, and then that can be considered for the job that can apply to the immigration scheme. So I emailed back saying, again, this was on the Friday, saying, I will volunteer for this role for 300 hours, thinking, I know they're short-staffed, they need people, surely this is something that they will go for. So when I got the job description sent back, she said, oh, yes, I'm just going to discuss your offer of volunteering with someone.
Cricket.
And I haven't heard anything back. And that was Tuesday last week, and we're now Monday. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they can't accept people as volunteers. Fine. Just let me know.
Yeah.
It's the lack of information. And you don't want to be kind of like emailing back and forth saying, hello, not heard from you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, you don't want to be desperate.
No. Well, it's like I'm not aware of how these interactions normally work. Yeah. I do know that a friend of ours in Kelowna waited 6 months to hear that they'd got a job. Well, they're Canadian.
Blimey.
Yeah. And that was with Interior Health as well. So which is their equivalency to the NHS over here. So yeah. We're just kind of like sitting here twiddling our thumbs, because you know us, we kind of do stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, metaphorically twiddling our thumbs, waiting to hear back from whether these possibilities have an opportunity to turn into anything or not.
You're keeping busy.
Cheery note.
You're keeping busy in the meantime, which is the main thing.
Yeah, and I'm loving what I'm doing with the centre. And it's great to be down at the centre and do the workshops there. We've been discussing doing further workshops for Joining Hands once we've got the immigration sorted and getting over here, other ideas for them, you know, things that they can do. Because it's really interesting to have to think, you've got people with learning differences who are coming with zero skill level, other than they have done it once before, probably months before, and you've got an hour and a half to demonstrate something, then make it, and then go wow. with something that they're happy with. So it's really interesting to be able to, you know, kind of consider what can be done, not just by me in that time, but by someone who isn't me in that
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
About, you know, learning how to hold a tool, you know, different techniques. They've got to learn to cut, to grind, and to foil. Excuse me. They don't have to solder, because I do the soldering. But that's three totally different things that they need to get to grips with in an hour and a half.
And do you have an assistant, or is it just you and them? Do you have someone who's helping you help them?
Yes. So there's Quinn, who is the Joining Hands kind of organizer, coordinator. And then most of the attendees come with a helper as well. Not all of them. You might get one helper between three sometimes. So I will be doing lots of kind of one-to-one help. And we had one chap who is blind. And so his helper was helping him doing the cutting. And then when it came to grinding the glass, I helped him grind it. So I manipulated his hands onto the piece of glass and helped kind of like shadowed his hands so that he could find out where the stuff, you know, where the grinding wheel was, what it felt like, and, you know, kind of what kind of pressure he needed to put onto it with the piece of glass. And so once he'd got that, I then let him do each piece, but I, you know, started by, you know, by helping him get to it.
That really sounds great. Now, I think it's, you know, I can imagine for them as well, having probably had obstacles to being able to engage in activities like yours, particularly physical activities that would challenge their differences, to be able to actually be in a space, albeit for a relatively short amount of time, where they can try new things and actually feel that they're doing something.
Yeah.
It must be amazing. You know,
it must.
I think it's such a lovely thing to be able to, a lovely opportunity to be able to give someone. Definitely.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that they'd had a 2 week break just before we did this, like, this week gone. And the stuff that they had waiting for them that they'd made before were little coil clay pots, which they'd made themselves and then glazed them themselves. And now that the glazing was done, and so they each had them back to admire and take home once it had been finished. And what's lovely is that I'm not the only external person that comes in and shows people what to do. They have all sorts of different people who come in at different times. And Quinn has come up with this project for them to make that they can see every time they come in. And they're putting a huge mural together, which is probably about 30 feet long and about 3 feet high. And it's all going to be made of individual 6-inch tiles. And they're each going to have as many tiles as they want to paint to a pattern or a design that has already been created. And it's the Okanagan at different times of year. So they're all going to have input into this amazing mural. And they will get to see it every time they come to the center because it's in their room.
That sounds great.
It is. It's really lovely.
Well, I'm not doing anything. I don't think I'm doing anything as inspiring as that. But I have recently acquired, I guess, I want to say a student slash mentee.
Okay.
I ran a workshop for a young girl who is 19, almost 20. It was gifted to her by her parents for Christmas. She came and did a ring workshop. She was lovely and we got chatting. She'd done A-level photography and quite creative things at school, but just didn't really fancy going the uni route. At the end of the workshop, she said she had a really great time. And then a week later, I got a lovely email from her saying that after the workshop, I completely inspired her. She wants to become a jewelry maker. And could I give her a bit more information? So I exchanged information on basic tools and things. But long story short, she asked me if I wouldn't mind showing her some other skills. She said she'd be quite happy to pay for my time. And I thought, well, because I don't see myself as a trained tutor, unless I'm doing my workshops, sort of teaching someone to do anything more than making a basic ring always feels a bit out of my skill set, although I know I can teach quite a lot. So I came up with the idea of a skill swap. So lovely young Eva, who is my little mentee slash student, is doing photography for me in exchange for some jewelry tutoring sessions.
Fantastic.
She's doing some sort of portrait type stuff for me for updating my website and also some product stuff that I might want doing. And then I'll set her little project that she can go away and practice basic skills and do her own thing. And then when she's ready to come back, she can come back and we move on to the next one. But it was lovely that she felt so excited after the first session that she wanted to do more and learn more. But it's been really nice to sort of actually give back. You know, she'd offer to pay and I was horrified. I'm like, no, I don't want you to pay me. I'll just show you what to do. And then we came up with the sort of skill swap idea, which I think we've talked about before, which I think is a really great thing for creatives. It's a great currency for us. I think you talked before about someone was weaving you a rug.
That's right. Yeah. Ellen. Yep.
I think it's fantastic. So yes, I'm not on your level of, I don't know what you call it, David.
I think you're on my level. I don't know. I think you're talking rubbish at this point.
Your level of giving. But I'm trying.
Well, I think it's only because I've had opportunities to give that you haven't. That's the only reason. Yeah.
But yes, it just feels quite nice to be able to do that for someone that, you know, really wants to do it.
Yes.
But I've said to her at some stage it would be great for her to try different classes. And she's quite shy. And she's been to different colleges and looked at them. And I think she just found it quite intimidating going into a big workshop group session. So a one-to-one suits her for now. And I just feel if I can do that just to get her started, then, you know, it's not a big deal for me.
No, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, somebody did ask me if I could run my jewellery workshops here in Canada. And I said, you know, fortunately, I can't because we don't have the tools and facilities to do the kind of workshops that I run back in the UK. Well, that's not to say that I can't in the future, but just, you know, just not at the moment. The centre doesn't have those facilities. So something to add in, because they have space they don't use. So it's something that we could then, you know, co-develop so that there's that opportunity for people to come and do silversmithing. It's a space that I could use myself as a studio as well, type of thing. So it's something to have a discussion with Karen and Rodney about, I think, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
It's great.
So so I haven't really done any jewelry making since that tourmaline ring, which I must admit I really enjoyed doing. And that was interesting because when I'm wax carving, sometimes the design is in my head and never gets to paper. But this time I decided to do a basic kind of drawing of it. And interestingly, I knew it had to be part of the Dara Carrere collection because that's what I'm wanting to kind of add to at this point. What came out was fairly tame compared to the ring I've just done before. But I'm really happy with it. And just got three steps on the top. The shanks are all complete. They're not kind of like bits sticking out here and cut out there like the other ring I'd done. But I kind of did it in the idea that I might actually keep this one myself and have it as a kind of everyday ring. Because it's quite large, the wax, and it's something that I could wear every day because it's not too high on the finger. I might even do that myself because I really, I mean, I, I was really pleased with the colours of those tourmalines. Mm. Really lovely blues. And hopefully by the time I've got them set in the silver, that they'll reflect a lot more light than they do, obviously, from the wax. And you'll get to see all the kind of striations of blues in some of them. So pretty. So have you still got them sitting on? You have, haven't you?
I have. Can you see my glass?
He says, looking down at it. They're there.
I have been working on some other pieces, other stones that I got years ago.
I saw. They look fantastic, those settings.
Geometric.
Yeah. So what is that one you're showing me? What's the gem?
Gemstone. This is a tourmaline. It's sort of a smoky blue colour.
Okay.
And it's lovely, my usual classic asymmetric geometric shape.
Mm.
And I've got several of these in different colours. The reason I started working on them, I think, because they're bigger than the other tourmalines. And I'm going through such a clumsy phase at the moment. I'm terrified of dropping them. That's a really lame excuse, but it works for me. So I'm working on making settings out of wax for these little gems. And I'm going to make some pendants. So I thought I want to make pendants that are sort of quite accessible for open studios. Oftentimes rings, cuffs, they're quite big pieces. People don't necessarily want to invest in those.
Mm.
Whereas a pendant is a little bit more sort of entry level jewelry for someone. And it's not really something that I make a lot of. So I'm quite enjoying just sitting whittling. I don't know about you, I get quite caught up in wax carving, and it's quite a nice way. I can often just watch something, unless it's getting quite tricky, and carve at the same time. So I'm working my way through. There's about 8 of these that I want to try and get ready for the next sort of 3 weeks. So yeah, I'm cutting it a bit fine, but hey. So
well,
yeah,
if they're underweight, you won't have to have them assayed, so that you haven't got to think about 2 weeks.
Exactly. That's the bonus. I won't need to have them assayed. So I'm hoping if I can get another 3 or 4 made this week and then get those cast and get them back and set. But yeah, that's all I've been doing.
That's not all I've been doing, but they look stunning. And I mean, really interesting gem shapes as well. So, and I know, because even cutting those shapes in wax is a real pain, isn't it?
Yeah. But having done Russell's class, it's kind of given me more confidence to make settings in wax and do them properly. And I now have a better understanding of how to get them to fit and sit well.
You can teach me that. Then
yeah, we can do a little Zoom session. That'd be nice, a little interactive session. A little whittle and chat, David. Whittle and chat.
Whittle and chat. That's it. More sensitive content coming up.
You're so naughty.
Of course, so, it only takes 2 of us.
Who have you been looking at on Insta of late?
Then? Oh, Insta. So I want to talk about someone who I have watched for some time, and who's, I had it on my phone and it's totally disappeared. It's Thierry Vendôme.
Do you
follow Thierry Vendôme? It's very high class jewelry, but it's stunning. And I love a lot of the weird, wonderful shapes that they come up with.
Right.
So it's Thierry, Thierry, mm-hmm. and then _ Vendôme, Vendôme. Based in Paris, in the Marais. And I mean, I just love the work.
Oh, yeah.
And the use, different colored gems, different colored
material,
big, bold, showy, in your face, but you know, stunning, absolutely stunning. It's the kind of work that I would love to be able to be that good enough to do.
You are good enough to do that. Just do it.
Well, you might look like a pig's ear, and his don't look like a pig's ear. So.
There might be a market for pig's ear jewellery out there, David. Never say never.
Thankfully, there is, and I'm selling to it.
Well, mine, again, I'm going slightly off-piste from jewellery.
Mm.
Only because I went to private view last week of a lovely lady called Donna Lynch. Now, Donna is actually a clothes designer.
Okay.
And I came about her work during lockdown. But alongside her clothes designing, she now creates textile art pieces. So I went to the private view of her show at the Houserworth Gallery on Savile Row last week, and it's
absolutely.
And she goes under the name of Studio Ashe. So it's at Studio in lowercase, underscore Ashay, Studio Ashe. And her textile pieces, I just love the shapes. It's sort of pleats, folds, all the things that I love and try to do with metal. But I love the fact that she's making day-to-day clothes by day and then these wonderful art piece textiles the rest of the time. I managed to have a quick chat with her and just finding out how she juggles and balances it all. But yeah, and she's going to be at the Houserworth for a little bit longer. I think it's until beginning of September. So if anyone's in London and wants to go to Houserworth, check out Donna's work.
It's stunning. I'm just having a quick look as you're talking about it. Yeah, there's some really beautiful, interesting pieces there.
Yeah, really lovely shapes. And she's actually in-house with her sewing machine doing a bit of work. So
oh, nice.
Everyone's there, you know, to go and see her and have a chat and find out about, you know, how she works. That's a really nice opportunity.
Cool.
That's me.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And in the meantime, just to let people know, I have been chatting, and to let you know already, but just to let everybody know, I have been chatting with Dana Mack of Madam Mack Jewellery down in Melbourne, Australia. And a bit like you with Russell, fascinating person who had an awful lot of really interesting stuff to say. So that'll be a two-parter coming up next. So that'll be Dana at the end of August. And then beginning September. So, you know, check back in for her because I had a whale of a time chatting with her because she's just as bonkers as you and I, Ange. So they went down.
We like bonkers.
We do.
Fantastic. And I've got some lovely potentials that I'm chatting to in the background. So I'm not going to share yet. More tenterhooks for you all.
I know. You're always doing this, woman.
Keep you all in suspenders, but yes, I'll let you know.
Suspenders or suspense? Which one are we going into now?
Let us know. Stop it, Mr. Lilly. Yeah, so I'll keep you posted as to when my interviewees are ready to chat to me and obviously when they're ready to air.
Fab. And I will speak to you soon.
Lovely. Good to see you.
Yeah, so from the Canadian smoke to the big smoke, have a lovely evening.
Oh, I like what you did there.
I know. Brilliant, wasn't it?
Bye, lovely.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track of Topi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.